This is D.G. Martin. Almost 50 years after she wrote it, Chapel Hill resident Elizabeth Spencer's novel, The Light in the Piazza, has been turned into a Broadway hit musical. The man who made it happen, Adam Gettle, also wrote the music, and he and Elizabeth Spencer will tell me how this magic happened this evening at 6 and again tonight at 10 o'clock on Who's Talking, brought to you by Crook's Corner, home of Bill Smith's Seasoned in the South menu.
Chapel Hill Transit invites you to take a free ride because our free buses are for everyone. We're here to find out who rides the free buses and why. Why do you love your free ride?
I ride because it's free transportation. Parking is so crazy in Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill Transit is the way to go. Price is always right. Free is always right.
Jump on board and you too will love the bus in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and UNC. The buses are for everyone and the buses here are free. Do you have anxiety about going to the dentist? At Dr. Robinson's office, we know that it is very common for people to feel nervous about dental work. In fact, many people will put off going to the dentist because they are afraid. But having regular dental cleanings and oral exams is part of your body's overall health. If you are the type of person that avoids the dentist because of anxiety, you could be a candidate for sedation dentistry. For more information about sedation dentistry or to schedule your appointment with Dr. Teresa Robinson, please call 403-5559.
Who's Talking with D.G. Martin is brought to you by Crook's Corner, home of shrimp and grits, and Bill Smith's Seasoned in the South menu. Join us at 610 West Franklin. Daily menu at crookscorner.com.
Welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Well, almost 50 years after she first wrote it, Chapel Hill resident Elizabeth Spencer's novel, The Light in the Piazza, has been turned into a Broadway hit musical. The man who made it happen, Adam Gettle, well, he also wrote the music in addition to making it happen. He and Elizabeth Spencer are here right now to tell us how all this magic happened. Welcome, Elizabeth. Welcome,
Hi.
Adam.
Thanks for having me.
You two have been together on the stage at the Festival of the Book, the North Carolina Literary Festival, and people who heard your conversations learned a lot. And so we want you to teach us some of those things. Elizabeth, I think folks in Chapel Hill know the story of your wonderful novel, novella, The Light in the Piazza.
Most people seem to have either read it or seen the show, one of the two, or maybe both.
Or the movie.
A long time ago. It comes back on TV occasionally.
So it's fun for us to celebrate with you the exciting news, it's still news, or the exciting events about the success of the Broadway musical. And you tell me that Adam brought all of this to you.
Well, yes, Adam's interest perked for me when I heard that he was interested through my agent, and we met in New York. But that was 1998, and he'd apparently had some songs cooking up even before that. But I had no idea where we were going with it or what would happen, but I took a chance on he being the one that could really bring it off. And so,
well, now, you had some reservations when you first saw him, didn't you?
I just thought he was so young. I thought he was about 18 years old, and I thought, how is this boy going to get anything on Broadway? And then when I heard some of the previous productions, Floyd Collins is a very fine musical, and I got the CD for that and heard it, and then I heard a series of selections he did on a CD called Myths and Hymns, and I realized there was a real talent here that was working, and I was very pleased to look forward to whatever he would do.
Wow. Well, Adam, from your standpoint, when you were, can you tell us the story of how you got to Light in the Piazza as a vehicle for your creative talents?
Well, I had been doing I guess you could say more obscure things. Floyd Collins was about a guy who got trapped in a cave in Barron County, Kentucky in 1925. And Myths and Hymns was a sort of song cycle based on Greek myths and Presbyterian hymns.
Yeah, love that. Yeah.
And how they sort of interrelate. And I thought I would try to move slightly, several degrees into the mainstream, and indulge an interest that I had in writing something really purely romantic and uncynical, and especially in a time on the Broadway stage when there's a lot of for self-referential work, a lot of work that makes fun of the musical theater while doing musical theater at the same time. I'm not a proponent of that particularly, just because I don't know how to do that. I'm more interested in trying to invite the audience into a story and keeping them there for 2 hours.
So it's in some respects, you could say this is a look back to the Broadway of 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, where there was real story and real romance and real color.
I think in certain ways, more like 30 or 40, maybe 40 or 50, when that was a template that was maybe a little worn, but very effective. And I tried to look for a vessel for those instincts that would serve that tradition without aping it. And The Light in the Piazza is a beautiful, romantic story.
Yeah, well, no question that the outcome was that the partnership and the vehicle worked out very well. But tell us about your search and some of the dead ends that...
Yeah. Well, as it happens, Craig Lucas and I early on looked at a story called Don
Juan. Excuse me for interrupting, but Craig Lucas is... Many people know, wrote the, quote, book.
Yes, he wrote the spoken dialogue, which is called the book of the musical, and he converted and transcribed and reconfigured Elizabeth's wonderful story into a narrative.
So y'all knew each other and worked together some?
We had known each other a little, and we looked at something called Don Juan DeMarco, which had been a movie, and thought about turning that into... but I felt that was a romance through the lens of a psychiatrist or through the lens of psychiatry, and that didn't feel direct enough to me, not for what I wanted to do.
But you looked at it, you considered it, and it didn't work.
We had a number of meetings, and I think he continued on with that piece. But I kept looking.
How did Light in the Piazza come to your attention?
My mother has always loved the story, and she remembered it from its initial publication in The New Yorker in 1960, I guess it was, and she recommended it, and I went on Amazon.com and I ordered it.
Well, how did that conversation go with your mama?
Well, she's also a composer for the theater, and she's a great resource. And
you remember the way? Did she just say, "Adam, you want to take a look at this," or was it just an offhand remark? Or
said, "I'm looking for a romance." I'm sure I must have said that. I'm looking for something romantic and something I can pour these sounds into. And she said, "You know, you ought to look this up or try this piece, The Light in the Piazza." And I was immediately drawn to it.
So you went to Amazon, bought a copy, and read it.
Is I read it very carefully and took a lot of notes. I still have the initial copy, and I did not read it again for a number of years because I wanted to allow the impression that the story made on me, as if I were an audience member, that the story made in its first perception to reap the important emotional places to work on me in the way that it would work on an audience member.
In the meantime, you've got a help me with this. You tell this, but there's a how does the music get into this game? How does the music get into this creative process?
Well, the music comes actually second. The first thing is one's human experience of a story. And Elizabeth invented these characters and this situation and how the characters relate to each other and what they want, what they end up with. And those forces or those kinds of energy, they play on you and your heart. And that's sort of the initial stage of working on a piece for me, is to see how those ideas and characters, what kind of energy they create in me, what kind of longing, and eventually that distills into music, and then after that, for me, that distills into words. But the process is fairly visceral.
You've told me that you had a few notes running around in your head that fit this story. When did the notes start running around in your head, and when did you know that they might match up with the story?
Well, I did have one song before the beginnings of one song, which turned out to be the title song, The Light in the Piazza, which I had before I ran across the novel or the novella. And it was something that I wrote for my dear friend Brooks and his wife Elizabeth for their wedding. And I dedicated it to them and played it on the piano with a violist playing the melody in a slightly altered and, you know, soft pated version. And I had that going, and there was a sequence in that song which was dee da dee da dee da dee da, which, with just a little tinkering, could suit the phrase "the light in the piazza."
Well, maybe is it? I mean, would it be, we got this song. We got this song. Would this be a good time to listen?
Why don't
to
we
this?
Spin it up?
Let's do that.
This is Dale Pratt Wilson with the Coalition for Alcohol and Drug-Free Teenagers of Chapel Hill and Carrboro with this message.
My name's Rachel, and I'm 10 years old. I like riding my bike, playing soccer, and in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic. I'll start drinking in middle school, just at parties. My friends will drink, so I will too.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
My parents won't really know what's going on yet. I mean, I'll do okay in school, but when I drink, I'll do some things I don't really want to do. So by the time my parents talk to me about it, alcohol won't be my only problem.
Alcohol affects their judgment and their future, so start talking before they start drinking.
My parents won't believe it could happen to me.
For more information on teens and alcohol, and to learn what you can do, visit the web at stopalcoholabuse.gov.
Thanks, WCHL, for your support.
It's the bottom of the ninth, and the local community bank is ahead 2-1 over the competition on the mound, Harrington Bank. They are known to work fast. Here's the windup, and it comes across the inside corner of the plate with a low-rate mortgage loan. Harrington could win the game. Here's the pitch. This time, a high CD rate right down the middle. The competition couldn't touch that rate. Harrington checks the competition and delivers again right down the middle with their fast and professional service. I'll tell you, only a locally owned community bank can deliver a performance like that. Wow, everybody deserves banking like this.
East West Partners presents Bob Woodruff, president of the Cedars of Chapel Hill.
You've probably heard about the Cedars from friends who live there or are thinking about moving there. We're pleased to announce that Phase 2 homes are going fast. And if you want a new home in the country's premier continuing care retirement community, you need to act now. Give us a call at 259-7929 and come take a look. No obligation, just an opportunity to meet some nice people and see what people are raving about. We'll throw in lunch or dinner and even overnight accommodations in one of our Cedars homes. And you don't have to be from out of town to take advantage of the overnight stay. If you've wondered what it would be like to live at the Cedars, come spend a night with us and enjoy our amenities and fine dining. Call us at 259-7929. At the Cedars, life has been good to you. Now, it gets even better.
The Cedars of Chapel Hill is an East-West Partners community.
Hi, I'm Eric Montross. I recently became a champion for the Prevention First Challenge. If you care about your own health, your kids' health, your community's health, or your county's health, then this challenge is for you. The challenge is all about being more active, eating healthy, and quitting tobacco use. Come on, join me, take the challenge, and be a part of making North Carolina a healthier state. Let's rise to the challenge and put prevention first. To learn more, click on ncpreventionpartners.org.
We've all heard the wireless phone ads. Can you hear me now? Well, how about inside? Are you one of millions who lose your wireless signal once you go in your home or office? That can change now thanks to Signal Boosters.
As long as you can make a call outside your home or office, Signal Boosters can get that outside signal inside.
Having to go outside to use your wireless phone means you're missing a lot of calls, or they're going to your voicemail, which can not only cost you money, but precious time in the case of an emergency. Signal Boosters will improve your reception as long as there's adequate signal outside. From small spaces to large warehouses, Signal Boosters gets that outside signal inside. This is the wireless age, and 75% of Americans rely on wireless phones for voice and data connectivity.
Business owners, if your customers are missing important calls or have to go outside your establishment to talk, they may not come back. Can you afford that? If you need better wireless reception inside, remember, signalboostersnc.com. That's signalboostersnc.com.
Who's Talking with DZ Martin is brought to you by Crook's Corner, home of Shrimp and Grits, and Bill Smith's Seasoned in the South menu. Join us at 610 West Franklin. Daily menu at crookscorner.com.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is DG Martin. I'm talking to Elizabeth Spencer, the author of Light in the Piazza, and Adam Gettle, who wrote the music and brought the production together for the Broadway hit production, award-winning Light in the Piazza. Elizabeth, you live with us all the time, but you brought Adam Gettle down to celebrate with you.
Well, that was the work of the North Carolina Festival of the Book, yeah. And they also, I'm sorry Craig isn't here, because they also got Craig down, and so it was kind of a reunion for the three of us, because we've seen this through from the first.
Well, the window that you've given us on the production of a Broadway production has been wonderful, and now we got Adam to give us the real inside story.
Yes, on the music, which he can do very well.
Bringing together of the music. We heard the... You call it the title song, Light in the Piazza, uh-huh. earlier. And this is not just – this theme that developed is not just one song in the production, but you – explain to us how it relates to other music that
Well, if a theme has a contour that suits the idea of the show, that this theme, which occurs in the song we just heard several times that I – la 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 for you before, turned out to be very useful, almost in a, it was sort of a natural building block for a number of
parts
of the score.
In the song that we heard, The Light in the Piazza, mm-hmm. the little melody that developed mm-hmm. in your head maybe is the seed for this whole thing from your
right.
standpoint. Also, we can hear it other places.
Yeah, so you hear dee da dee da da dee da. Or dee da dee da 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 da. So if we play the hysteria track or the hysteria scene from the CD, you will hear that right off the bat, quite directly. We don't need to play the whole thing, but you'll hear just as it starts. You'll hear how that theme plays out.
What's going on in the
Clara Johnson has secretly made an assignation with her boyfriend Fabrizio, and they've agreed to meet at midnight out in Florence. And Fabrizio has given her some fairly explicit directions, which Clara kind of bobbles, and they're in sort of broken English to begin with. So she gets lost, and she really freaks out. So that's the nature of
this
scene.
So this is the woman who's in love but lost.
She's lost
she's
in this
struggling.
City, and she has a kind of spotty ability to orient herself in this situation, and it takes a very dark psychological tone.
So all of us can sympathize with an ordinary person who gets lost in an Italian city.
Yes.
But then
and you sort of
added you're in love and you're anxious to see your loved one, and mm-hmm. then in addition to that, you have a diminished mental capacity to deal with this whole
she
thing.
Gets very disoriented.
Okay, well, let's hear.
And a lot of insulting people come back, too. That's
yeah.
enough to disorient him.
Yes.
Well, let's listen to this.
After lobby, after fountain, go to Arno, making left, and left again to Tornabuoni, all along, and then you see Museo. After lobby, after fountain, go to Arno, making left, and left again. Right.
existence. Thing to do, Clara. Oh, crap. I memorized it. Concentrate, Clara. La 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 la.
Ciao! Ti sei perduta? Mia cara?
Ciao, cara. Cara, cara, that means dear. That means dear, sort of. Oh, dear. Oh, crap. I know where I am.
Do you look for the Medici Palace?
No, thank you. Sono felice. I am fine.
About a thing. You're safe now. I'll be nearby. There's a moon on a hill and a hidden stream, a lagoon and a red horizon dream, silhouette set away from time forever. There's a valley beyond the setting sun, where waters shine and horses run.
Mm. Well, now what's happening? Where was the?
Well, at that point, she's read the note over enough that she feels that she's committed it to memory, and so she tosses it away, and her problems begin.
And well, now this is a. I want to stick with the music, but my mind is leading me to other places, which is that there's a – some people think of this as a real serious sort of tragic love affair, and others see in it the comedy. And what's going on in this song where she's lost and searching? Is this comedy or is this tragic or is this just romance going wild?
It is sort of music drama. It's something that unfolds. It's a plot-based moment that we need to show her behavior under stressful circumstances. Because what we're trying to set up is that though she has a full human heart and in many ways is fully functional, in other ways may have some real fissures in her capacity, and that those fissures could be a deal breaker in any what we would think of as a normal marriage, that she's unable to function the way she might need to be able to, so that we have to, as an audience, wonder about this union. Could it work? Would it work? And this behavior that we watch when she gets lost is one way for us to get a look at that.
Well, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I'm good.
And I'm Will.
We're from GCF, Goodwill Community Foundation.
Summer's coming. The sand, the surf,
the new fashions.
What about the clothes you don't wear anymore?
Take them to your neighborhood GCF donation center and store.
You can get a tax deduction.
Your donations help GCF give everyone the opportunity to access computer-based life training skills anywhere, anytime. Log on to GCFLearnFree.org.
Donate to GCF.
And help build the future.
Goodwill Community Foundation.
Creating opportunities for a better life.
Hey, you know your sister's coming to town with her kids.
What do you think we should do?
We've got to come up with something that everyone's going to like.
I just wish I could think of something that's educational, but entertaining for the adults as well.
Of course, I know. The Museum of Life and Science in Durham.
The Museum of Life and Science is the summer place with its new outdoor science experience, Explore the Wild, opening Saturday, May 13th. A 6-acre interactive wildlife and wetland habitat with black bears, red wolves, and lemurs. Also enjoy farm animals, train rides, an insectarium in the very special Magic Wings Butterfly House. Our new cafe and two museum gift shops in a 70-beautiful-acre setting make the Museum of Life and Science the summer place. The Museum of Life and Science, an indoor and outdoor science adventure. 433 Murray Avenue, Durham, www.ncmls.org.
We can't believe everything we read in the media. You got to listen to talk radio, and you got to rise up.
You know, what we say really makes a difference.
I just want to say that it's your show that's got me to switch radio stations.
Start your day with Ron Stutz and stay here all day. This is News Talk 1360 WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's News Talk and Tar Heel Station.
Who's Talking with DZ Martin is brought to you by Crook's Corner, home of shrimp and grits, and Bill Smith's Seasoned in the South menu. Join us at 610 West Franklin. Daily menu at crookscorner.com.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is DG Martin. Elizabeth Spencer, who's the author of Light in the Piazza, the novel, is here with me, joined by Adam Gettle, who wrote the music for the Broadway hit production, Light in the Piazza. And we're enjoying the insights that you all give on each other's work. Elizabeth, we heard a part of a wonderful song in the last segment about your character being lost, but you're mentioning that this is something
that
that
was not in the book, but in a way they were very skillful in that. In fiction, you can move on the outside. You can put a scene, something like that, near a outdoor swimming pool in one of the parks. You can't do that on the stage. You've got to bring things into the focus as the focus of it might have sprung from the original scenes, I think. But they got the spirit, the essence of the girl getting hysterical.
Well, was it good enough and close enough so that you said, "Gosh, I could have put this in the story."
I went with it, and I saw how the music felt. But then that scene that where he comes looking for her in the hotel, that wasn't in the book either. But it gets close to the spirit of what I was, where the narrative was leading me. And they took it where the drama was leading them, but it didn't depart from the meaning. And have to show that she doesn't act completely as a young girl in love would act in others who had another a mature mentality, that she breaks into a sort of childish hysteria when she's overtaxed, and they managed to do that.
One of the things that you have to do when you reconfigure and develop a story for the stage when it's been on, on the page before that is try to be faithful to the spirit, but mindful of the requirements of live drama, which sometimes involve creating situations in which a person might conceivably be moved to sing. Not that you're taking it literally that this person is actually singing. There is that disbelief is suspended, or we hope that it is. But in the case of, for instance, Fabrizio coming to Clara's hotel room, where in the book she's only sent a very provocative looking yonic flower or something, an orchid, or on the page has a wonderful resonance and meaning, and on the stage it would be a little drowned out by the rest of the scenery. And
sure,
and
you so couldn't even see it.
That, right. Uh-huh. We need to activate that gesture and bring him to the hotel room and create a love scene on the bed. I mean, it takes it one step further. Unfortunately, that may depart a little bit from the spirit of things, but we tried to do what Elizabeth did in terms of what the consequences would be. And in the book, the consequences of that flower delivery were, well, okay, enough. We're going to Rome.
It's a sort of phallic-looking flower, obviously, that they have a lot. I don't know even the name of it, but you know what they are. Look like they a lot of them in Italy, and she's the mother makes the connection.
Yes, all right.
But anyway, that and other things that have occurred move her to leave for Rome, and so that's let me get out of here.
and as Elizabeth said in the book, there's a swimming pool scene where Clara gets overtaxed and overexcited, and then just sort of laughs herself into a hysteria state.
Uh-huh.
And we couldn't really afford or practically pull off a swimming pool on stage. Mm-hmm. But we could and did have the ensemble and the resources to do a scene in which she got lost. So you try to find sort of an analog.
Mm-hmm. Well, Adam, this brings up leads into another thing that I'm awfully curious about, and that is you wrote the music and the music drove all of this, but you're the main man. I mean, you're the producer. You're making all these. How does all this fit in terms of your drive for your conception of what this should be for your music, and how does that fit in with the parts that so many other people are playing and bringing this to Broadway?
Well, first of all, technically, I'm not the producer in any way. The wonderful producers over the course of the life of the show have been Sundance and the Intimon Theater and the Goodman Theater and Lincoln Center Theater in New York.
But you haven't sat back and quietly let them do this themselves.
The first thing you want to do is option the rights and hold on to them with your life, with your life, and not let someone else carry that financial burden, because once somebody else owns the rights, they can not only wield that and use that leverage, but they can also dump you from the project.
How did you do that? But following that strand, how did you get the rights, and then how did you hold on to them in the midst of an expensive production?
Well, I knew that I was slow. I've always been a pretty slow writer, so every year we would just re-up and buy them again. And as it happens, Elizabeth and her agent were very fair about what they were charging for the rights, because they did have us over a barrel, which they must have something of which they must have been aware. I mean, after having worked on the piece for 3 years, they could have asked me for 10 times of what they were asking for, and I probably have had to pay it. So they were very fair about that. I was very lucky.
She talked to me about that. She and
this is your agent, your agent, or his agent?
She said if I put the price up too high to begin with, they might decide they didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But the other thing was she knew that I had enthusiasm about it, and that I don't know. We talked a good deal on the phone at that time, and I wanted you to hold on to it. And I didn't know that there was a lapse in there when you thought you might give it up. But you had said something once when I was in New York about you were able to carry the lyrics and the music, but you couldn't write the book. And that should have given me a signal that you were a little bit in a sort of hiatus a bit. But it didn't. I always, when these things start, take a pessimistic attitude. I've had people sign up for movies and everything before, and then they peter out, and, they've been cast, and then something happens. And so I thought, well, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, I was going on with my writing then. I had a couple of novels all the time that you were doing all this. So I was involved in the sense of having good hopes and good
for
faith
them.
And in them. But then after I met Craig, you remember that time he came back and we had a long brunch together? Mm-hmm. And Craig was full of the humor of the piece as well as the romance of it. So I thought, well, they are really going to get something done. I felt very good after that. And I thought you did, too.
Yes, I did. I think that's a great point to bring up. Craig Lucas, who wrote the book for The Light in the Piazza, brought his uniquely funny and energized sense of how to portray this story. Mm-hmm. He brought great bristle and panache to it.
Well, now, I'm always curious about the business side. But you and Craig know each other, respect each other, and everybody starts to like each other. But there's got to be a point where Craig or somebody says, I need, you know, I've got a, how am I going to be rewarded for this? And do you carve a piece of it for him, or do you pay him to do it, or how does that?
It's a, you're in a collaboration, and the split of the collaboration in a musical is something that has been established over time. It's a fairly.
So you do the book, you get a certain percentage. You do the music, you get a certain percentage, and then the owner gets.
Well, also Elizabeth gets, of course, some of the royalties. So in terms of a straight story invented from whole cloth, it's one-third, music, lyrics, and book. In this case, that is diluted somewhat by Elizabeth's share because she originated the story. So, you know, those deals, there is a template for that, and they get worked out fairly early on as something called a collaboration agreement.
So there's a standard way. When you and Craig are talking about working together, there's this template that you ordinarily would expect that that's the basis on which you work, and if you're going to do something different, you talk it through. Is that sort of the way
it works? Well, the hope is that you won't have to talk it through amongst yourselves, and you'll let your agents talk it through, quote unquote.
Okay.
They have the same agent.
No conflict of interest. Yeah. The agent represents everybody.
Right. I have a different one,
but the two of them have one agent, so they couldn't get in many quarrels.
That's true.
We came to talk about the joy and the of the creative process and sample a little bit of it from The Light in the Piazza, from the author of the novel, Elizabeth Spencer, and the writer of the creator of the music that is a part of the Broadway hit production. We'll be right back, talk some more about all of this.
The High and Rubish Insurance Agency is an independent insurance agency serving our community for over 40 years. Why should you work with an independent agent? Because an independent agent works for you, not a big insurance company. Now is the time to be sure that you have the right insurance coverage for you and your family. So call High and Rubish for your free insurance review. High and Rubish will assess your insurance needs and make sure you have the coverage you need. Many of the insurance reviews High and Rubish completes result in no insurance change. Isn't that reassuring? Wouldn't you like to be sure you're covered? You have nothing to lose and everything to gain by calling High and Rubish today for your free insurance review. Call 913-1144, 913-1144, or stop by 6015 Farrington Road in Chapel Hill. High and Rubish Insurance, when you need to be sure. WCHL 1360, time now for Biography for Radio with Jack Perkins, brought to you locally by the Cedars and East-West Partners community.
Within a day of being born, she was already a celebrity in Canada. Her story next on Biography for Radio.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds, I get my credit report and credit score free.
I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
It was July 1st, 1967, and Canada had just turned 100 years old. The first Canadian to be born that day was a baby girl in Ladysmith, British Columbia. It was an auspicious start. As a teenager, she was nothing special. She wore braces, played the saxophone, and excelled in sports. But in 1988, she was at a football game when the roving eye of a television camera flashed her smile on the big screen. The crowd erupted. She was wearing a T-shirt emblazoned with the logo of Canadian brewer Labatt's. The company saw its chance and hired her to promote its beer. She was then discovered by Playboy magazine. The publicity set off her television career with the role in the TV comedy Home Improvement, and then the smash hit drama series that brought her fame worldwide. But with celebrity also came pain. In 1998, she accused her rock star husband of abuse. Later, she was plagued by a stalker and found to have caught hepatitis C from a tattoo needle. Her troubles, however, have done little to tarnish her popularity. For many, she will always remain the deliciously watchable lifeguard C.J. Parker on the Baywatch television series. Actress Pamela Anderson. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
Biography for Radio, brought to you on WCHL by The Cedars of Chapel Hill and East West Partners Community. The Cedars is the country's premier retirement community. Call 929-1995 to find out more on this very special community. Life has been good to you. Now it gets even better at The Cedars of Chapel Hill. Who's Talking with DZ Martin is brought to you by Crook's Corner, home of shrimp and grits, and Bill Smith's Seasoned in the South menu. Join us at 610 West Franklin. Daily menu at crookscorner.com.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is DZ Martin. We're talking about Light in the Piazza, the novel by Elizabeth Spencer, the Broadway production with the music by Adam Gettle, and I got both of them here talking. And Elizabeth, what are you thinking about right now?
Oh, I was just about to say, not apropos of the music or the story. If that story took place, say, in Germany, it wouldn't work. I think the power of Italy is what moves that story along. The light in Italy is very compelling. Just look at Italian painting sometime if you don't believe me, and go to Italy. The force of light in Italy has created a great deal of literature and art, and I don't know what all, but I just feel that Italy had that impression on me when I first came to it, and it's a powerful force in itself, and I think light is the right word to use.
Light. Is the light involved in the music and in the, same
it's
way?
It's certainly a theme, and the lyric of the title song addresses that idea. And I think it's also, as Elizabeth was saying earlier, it relates to a kind of blindness that Margaret has, certainly in the beginning of the story, to herself, that she's somewhat blind to herself in this experience of letting go of Clara in a way allows Margaret to see herself, if I may, and emancipates her somewhat from a pain, from a disappointment in her own life. The act of letting go of her daughter is emancipating for Margaret and allows her to see.
There's something. This is totally my take on the story as it relates to me, and all of us are entitled now to translate what we see on stage or read in the book as it affects our own experience. But I have trouble dealing with the letting go of normal children because of the thing that defined me was my responsibility for rearing these children. And then when that job was done, what am I here for? And it's kind of a tough break to make. Mm-hmm. Well, Margaret's even tougher decision kind of helps the rest of us along. Mm-hmm. You know, come on, figure out something else to do. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to do this forever. Mm-hmm. Sort of, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have children, and so it's easy for me to say I don't know. But I just was living her thoughts more than anything else, because though it's not a I story, it's an omniscient narrative, but the person I related to was Margaret. I know one critic wrote a long thing about, they said that the story was happening to Clara, and I shouldn't have written it that way.
But you meant it to be happening to Margaret.
Yeah, I chose to do it that way.
Adam, the thing that drove your energy, in part at least, was this, was the romance as a part of it as well. I mean, that's...
Yes. Well, that's true, and I had sought to do a romantic piece, so I wanted to make sure it contained the qualities that I needed, but it doesn't work without at least half of it being from Margaret's perspective and from her sensibility. And
I'm learning so much, I hate to close this conversation, but what's the future for this production? I noticed in the newspaper that it's still going on Broadway, long run, but it's scheduled to appear in Raleigh on the road. What's happening?
It'll be in Raleigh in February of 2007, and But we are going to close the production in New York on July 2nd. And at that point, we're already in rehearsal doing the national tour. And we begin the tour at the end of July, beginning of August. And we start in San Francisco. So it goes all over the country.
Go for a couple of weeks each place. Is that the way this works?
In some places, it'll be as much as a month. And some places, it's just a week and a half.
And it'll be in Washington, I think, in
it'll be at the Kennedy
Christmas.
Center in December.
It's for those of us who live in Chapel Hill, we can and can't get to New York before the 2nd of July, we can also see this on public television.
On public television in June.
Yes, and on June 15th.
Great performances.
Don't have time. I'm curious about how the business of working out a television production of a Broadway production.
I'm still in the throes of that, so I can't really address
it. It hasn't been done yet.
We're still working out the deal, but it's going to be broadcast live from Lincoln Center.
It'll be live from Lincoln Center. It'll be broadcast a little bit differently down here on their regular Great Performances night, Sunday following the live performance. That's so exciting.
See the News and Observer. They'll put that in, I'm sure, because
we'll have lots of publicity about that.
Yes, we'll have publicity about it.
Well, let's listen as we finish our conversation to one more piece. And the overture, we'll close with the introduction, with the overture.
Okay.
Anything you should tell us about?
Well, in this form, in a musical theater piece, you want to introduce the audience to the language of the piece. And the overture serves that function. It sort of invites you into the world.
So we'll hear that theme. Give us that theme one more time, the da-da.
You will hear the dee-da, 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 dee-da-da-da-da. You'll hear that. And you'll also hear some other main themes from the show. Overtures often combine a number of the melodies that occur later.
Great. Let's listen to that. Thanks to you, Elizabeth Spencer, and to you, Adam Gettle, for giving us insight into the novel and into the Broadway hit production. Thanks to all y'all for listening. We'll be back same time.
You've said it to yourself a million times. I have to start a college savings plan for my child. But now it's easy to get started because now your State Farm agent can help. So call State Farm agent Pam Herndon today at 240-0155. That's 240-0155 to ask about starting a college savings plan. State Farm, providing insurance and financial services.
And like a good
Did you know that skin is the largest organ in the human body? This is Sally La Liberté, family nurse practitioner with Central Dermatology. Did you realize that skin is the largest and most visible organ in the human body? About 20 square feet in an average-sized adult. Skin performs many essential tasks, such as regulating body temperature, protecting internal organs, providing sensation, and supporting metabolic functions. Its external location makes it susceptible to a wide variety of diseases, disorders, discolorations, and growths, as well as to damage from the environment and the aging process. This summer is the perfect time to learn how to keep your skin, hair, and nails healthy.
For medical or cosmetic questions about your skin, call Central Dermatology Center at 401-1994 or click on www.cdcskin.com. Central Dermatology is located on Highway 54 near the I-40 Exchange. Central Dermatology, protecting what protects you.
This is D.G. Martin. Almost 50 years after she wrote it, Chapel Hill resident Elizabeth Spencer's novel, The Light in the Piazza, has been turned into a Broadway hit musical. The man who made it happen, Adam Gettle, also...
At home, at work, in the car. News Talk 1360, WCHL, Chapel Hill, Carrboroughs, News Talk and Tar Heel Station.